Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I am James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com. We are proud of our associates for responding to the situation with the utmost compassion and professionalism. We have got that story plus Aurora Harpy Alice. But first, remember, like Rockefeller said, or was it Ford? Competition is a sin. Macron puts French banks into play with plan to transform Europe. Now, James, I did see this story. Rather innocuous headline. Macron puts French banks in play with plan to transform Europe. Okay, Finance Yahoo, tell me more. President Emmanuel Macron said he would be open to seeing a major French bank being taken over by a European Union rival in order to spur the deeper financial integration he sees as critical for the bloc's future prosperity. Dealing as Europeans means you need consolidation as Europeans, Macron said in an interview with Bloomberg on the sidelines of the Choose France Investment Summit in Versailles near Paris. We now have to open this box and deliver a single market approach, which is much more efficient. As Europe comes to terms with Russia's war in Ukraine and the steady deterioration of the global trading system, Macron's been trying to persuade his EU partners to embrace what he sees as a transformative program of reform to turn the EU into a more united and powerful economic force. Only by getting smarter about protecting interests, cutting back on regulation inside the single market, and unlocking the bloc's financial power, Macron argues, does the EU have a chance of going toe-to-toe with China and the US. With 15 billion euros of new foreign investment announced on Monday's conference, underlining the sea change from the days of his predecessor, François Hollande, declared that finance was the country's enemy, Macron is trying to demonstrate that there is more to his vision than rhetoric. We clearly bridged a gap with the others and are now front runners in Europe, he said, after spending the morning discussing Microsoft's plans for expansion in France. But his proposals have run into stiff opposition, nevertheless, from Germany and traditional allies, who are leery of pooling their financial liabilities with the rest of the EU and nervous about embracing the idea of capitalism a la Francais. We have to completely reset our model, Macron said. Where have I heard about a complete reset before? Emmanuel Macron wants to see consolidation among EU banks. We have to completely reset. Oh, in related news, French and Swiss central banks to trial wholesale digital currencies. The Swiss National Bank and Bank of France will trial Europe's first cross-border central bank digital currency payments, a move that'll be a first for two of the world's top currencies. James?
All right, James, this is a fascinating and important story for a number of reasons. One, because it gives us the insight into the fundamental tension that we have pointed out many times before between the European project of the globalists that was spearheaded by Bilderberg, for example, from its very inception, towards the creation of the European Union, the integration of this regional bloc as a stepping stone towards the greater global governmental system, and the fact that European nations have historically warred with each other, hated each other, been rivals with each other, etc. And that tension still continues, and you see it in a story like this one. And here we have Macron coming along, proposing the great banking reset in order to, well, of course, bringing in the specter of that potential digital central bank digital currency that we know is on the cards and for the near future. So why has Macron suddenly seen the light? Why is he interested in suddenly pushing for this greater European integration? Well, it's precisely because it would tend to benefit France the most at this particular point, as this article goes on to make the point in greater detail. When you look at the biggest banks in Europe, many of the biggest ones are in France, and BNP Paribas SA has a 2.7 trillion euro balance sheet that's enough to rival the GDP of several countries. And basically, Macron is saying, we need a consolidation so that BNP can buy out its competitors. So, of course, he's looking to essentially use the European smokescreen as a way of forwarding French interests. Germany and others maybe not so interested in getting on board with this. Remember the dumpster fire of the whole Greek euro crisis several years ago and the pigs and all of that, and basically the northern European countries getting all rankled because they have to support those lazy southern European countries. Well, you know, shades of that happening again. For example, joint deposit insurance is something that they're aiming for, but Germany and like-minded countries have blocked efforts to move ahead with that, arguing that savers in their country shouldn't be on the hook for losses at banks in other countries. But I think the real money quote here is, the region's political leaders have made some progress in forging closer ties as a response to the subsequent sovereign debt crisis, handing oversight powers to the European Central Bank and establishing a joint authority for winding down failed lenders. So crisis equals opportunity for the globalists, and they're going to ride the Macron horse as long as he's saying what they want him to say, essentially. And I think that's what's going on here. It's, I mean, I think Europeans know by this point, they know that all of the European woo, la-di-da garbage propaganda they've been sold for decades is just propaganda, and it's just meant to get them on board with an agenda that is not their agenda and not in their interests.
So it's interesting when the article says the other countries are worried about pooling their losses. They mean they're worried about getting in the pool with French's losses and liabilities and negative balance sheets. Maybe a positive of this, James, could be that this could be the type of thing to, I don't know, tear a whole European Union apart once they all get into bed with each other and go, I have to spend my money to pay for your losses? Why did we get into this in the first place? So I'm looking at my own kind of crisis-tunity for that, James. That is how we get going on this New World next week, episode 554, our second story. As we head to the skies, jaw-dropping northern lights from massive solar flares amaze skywatchers from around the world. An aurora show like no other played out in the night sky last weekend as a historic northern lights display, spawned by intense solar storms, painted the sky in spectacular hues of pinks, purples, and greens. We have a very rare event on our hands, says Sean Dahl, service coordinator of NOAA's Space Weather Prediction Group, told reporters on Friday, May 10th, just hours before the Northern Lights spectacle began. In the United States, the Northern Lights, or Aurora Borealis, typically only visible around the Arctic region and northern Canada, expected to be as visible as far south as Alabama or Northern California, which sound kind of funny to me. NOAA officials reporting sightings from locations even further south than those. The intense auroras were spawned by a series of massive solar flares and coronal mass ejections that erupted from the sun, firing and flinging wave after wave of charged solar particles towards Earth. Those particles slammed into Earth's magnetic field Friday, triggering what space weather scientists called a G5-level geomagnetic storm, something the Earth has not seen since the truly epic solar storms of Halloween 2003, which I do not recall off the top of my head. Northern lights, likely frequent occurrence as sun's energy reaches the peak. Or they actually will mention sometimes the solar cycles in the mainstream media. Solar cycle 25 may be reaching its peak, which increases the likelihood of more auroras. Oh, and in related news, Harp was fired up just before this happened. Daily Telegraph, on May 10th, 2024, the HARP facility performed experiments to generate aurora-like lights in the ionosphere. This involved stimulating electrons with high-frequency radio waves to create air glow. The experiment, allegedly named Making the Invisible Visible, sought to determine whether HARP's radio transmissions could produce hot electrons that would lead into a phenomenon known as, the best acronym I've heard all week, STEVE. Strong Thermal Emission Velocity Enhancement. Very nice work on that one. Other acronyms like HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, is a controversial research facility located in Alaska dedicated to studying the ionosphere. On May 10th, 2024, HARP conducted experiments to artificially create aurora-like glows. That's what Dr. Robert Malone has found using the Proximity AI subscription AI search service. So, James, I don't really exactly know what to be like. The more the characters get involved, like, I don't know what to believe on this anymore. But do you think maybe the whole space is fake crowd could get together with the whole space weather obsessives and really figure out the story, James?
One could dream. Exactly what attracted me to this story in particular is that it seems to strike on every bread and butter conspiracy realist topic, as well as some new ones thrown into the mix. So yes, we've got the geomagnetic storm with the ever-present danger of the new Great Carrington event that will wipe out all of human civilization overnight that I know, gets people excited for some strange reason. but also, yeah, of course, the harp and its connection to this and whatever they're doing in the ionosphere that's causing things like this. But the other layer of this that is fascinating is that, so this wasn't something that some researcher dug up by themselves. No, this is something that came from some subscription AI service that came up with the answer that HARP was responsible for this. And there are some sources there that you can check into. But man, that in and of itself is crazy. Okay, I'll throw people to the actual HARP press release about their transmission notice from May 8th to May 10th, which isn't about, as far as I can tell, the making the invisible visible thing, which was something that was going around a couple of years ago. Maybe this is a different experiment. Maybe it's related. Maybe I'm missing something. Please fill in the blanks with actual sources to real information and not AI oracles that we ask, because that's the craziest part of stories like this one. I said, what year is it? Maybe this year, maybe last year. I don't remember, but I did say that the insidious part of this AI takeover that we're being subjected to, or at least the propaganda for that takeover, is that we're going to start being programmed to more and more rely on asking the AI oracle and then relying on its answers. And that seems to be exactly what is happening now in the so-called independent media. Now we'll just ask AI what's happening, and it will tell us. Oh, it was HARP. Oh, okay. So, I don't know. That's kind of the weird part of this story to me. And as I say, I mean, I'd love to see more actual sources if people can dig them up. But let's not start asking the AI gods to tell us what's happening.
Maybe it could see deeper search results, deep web things I wouldn't be able to figure out how to find. Maybe it found some unsecured, you know, military server and this information was on there, declassified. But that's interesting. It's like, let's ask the technocratic gimmick about what the technocrats are up to. And maybe, again, depending on who you are, it's like, oh, you're a conspiracy guy. I'll give you a conspiracy answer. It's the weather thing at HARP. And I am certainly not saying it wasn't the weather thing at HARP. Finally, easily my favorite story of the week, James. Woman was living behind store's rooftop sign for a year with a desk, flooring, and the ever-important houseplant. Don't forget to put houseplants in your computer setup studios. A 34-year-old woman was found living in a Michigan supermarket's rooftop sign, and inside her compact space where she had lived for roughly a year was a mini desk, floor, clothing, a pantry of food, a printer, and a houseplant. Contractors. Ratted out by the contractors working on the roof of a Family Fair supermarket in Midland, Michigan, discovered the woman on April 23rd inhabiting the sign. Brennan Warren, spokesperson for the Midland Police Department, told USA Today, James, this is one of those stories all the news places all ran with it because it's one of those kind of wild card oddball stories. The contractors, this is like Mark Klein at AT&T. The contractors had seen an extension cord leading from one of the rooftop units to this particular sign where she had been living. The Family Fair sign the woman was living in isn't a normal sign and not like the one seen on the side of Target or Walmart, they say. There's a 10 to 15 foot hollow peak at the top of the supermarket's roof where the sign is placed inside, and a 3x4 foot access door behind the sign, definitely big enough to get into. The woman vacated the supermarket sign that day. She bolted. She had to leave. She had so much stuff, she couldn't actually even move all of her stuff out there. The store connected with the woman and is helping her move her remaining belongings. We are proud of our associates for responding to the situation with the utmost compassion and professionalism, the Family Fair supermarkets chain said in an emailed statement. Ensuring there is ample, safe, affordable housing continues to be a widespread issue nationwide that our community needs to partner in solving. The public dubbed the woman Rooftop Ninja, due to her living in the sign and evading detection for about a year. People would see her from time to time, and then all of a sudden she would vanish. No one really knew where she went, but no one ever indicated or thought that she would be up on top of the roof. Hopefully, if other employees did know, they didn't say anything about it. Police do not know how the woman got up on the roof so often, and she didn't tell them how. I love that part. In my 10-year career here in Midland, I've never seen a situation like this before. You never think this would happen, but I wish the best for her. Now, what this made me think on my Morning Monarchy, James, has been covering a lot of stories about squatting and all these sort of class war battles. I guess this lady didn't get the memo. You're supposed to engage in squatting in other people's houses to egg on the class war until it can become a civil war. It is, I mean, you gotta admire the ingenuity. I certainly do. Now, what should happen is that store should hire her and put her in a house and make, you know, they could make a big PR stunt out of it. James, I could have been a really great corporate PR consultant in four other different timelines away. Now, as I like to ask, I guess, on these strange third and final stories, how would something like this go over in Japan? Would it be seen as an indictment on your system that lets people live this way? Or what would have happened?
I would imagine she would be arrested for trespassing, but I imagine a lot of people online would give her a round of applause just for the ingenuity of it. But I gotta say, amateur, because this puts me in mind of the story from beginning in 2003, a group of artists in Rhode Island discovered this part of a shopping mall that, because of the architecture of the shopping mall, was like this empty, unused space that you could kind of squeeze your way into. And so they ended up creating a cinder block wall with an access door to make it look official, and basically moved in. Dining room hutch, sofa, PlayStation. They lived there in the shopping mall for 4 years until they were finally discovered by security and kicked out. And I just discovered, actually, that apparently that was made into a documentary movie earlier this year, so people can apparently now watch that whole ordeal. But yeah, so this sort of thing happens, and, you know, honestly, yeah, hats off to people who have the ingenuity and resources to do something like that, and to creatively squat on corporate property. Show me the victim to a crime like this one, please.
Absolutely. What's the name of that documentary? Got you on the spot.
The shopping mall? Or something like that. I will let... Oh, Secret Mall Apartment. Anyway, I'll put the link in the show.
That sounds like a very Japanese title.
It does, doesn't it?
Reggae hairstyle, rock and roll. We're only going to see more and more of this as the collapse accelerates. And again, what really gets me about a lot of these squatting kind of stories is they're doing it to their regular person and acting as though, and as I've said, don't act like you're squatting in a dead mall or some empty corporate office building. You are doing this against your own people. It's kind of like the protests that make people late going to work. You ain't winning anybody over. So we probably will see things like this. And again, I tip my cap to the ingenuity of someone who, again, is corporate squatting. And as you say, exactly, no victims. That is New World Next Week, episode 554. We run newworldnextweek.com for DVDs, shirts, hats, and other ways to support the work of Corbett Report and MediaMonarchy.com. Again, in our years and years and decades of doing this work, you have never seen an advertisement that we placed on there. Now, if some other platform like Rumble started rolling their own pre-rolls, they did that, and we have had nothing to do with that. Your support keeps us, I always say, fear-free and ad-free. James?
That's it. James, we did this. Virtual high five. See you next week.
Take care, buddy.